There you get a good shot of, looks like Kyle Draper's cutlery. And what's that is his notes getting ready for him. What do you got there? What are you showing us? Look, this is what we got. There we go. There we go. Yeah, there we go.
That's there my dinner, bro. You know, and let me just say, hollering at my guy James Rasmussen and DJ Elements. Selena brought me lunch at 3:30. Dinner comes at halftime. So they deliver it courtside. And so not everybody is mean to Drapes when he gets here.
Right, you know? Right. Absolutely. What do we got? Is that spaghetti?
Yeah, or spaghetti yeah. and a little, is okay. this Brussels sprouts and some meat sauce up in there.
All right, very nice, yeah, very nice. Yeah. Oh, we got a few responses here on the chat for a statue. If Kings were going to build a statue because we just found out the Kobe statue, part of it has to be redone because there's mistakes on the box score portion of it. So I'll just read these. We got Fox, Mitch Richmond, Slamson, Rick Adelman, the G-Man.
G-Man.
The Maloof Brothers, Six, the number six, of course, in honor of the sixth man.
Sixth man, yeah.
Joe Klein, that's a good one, yeah.
Man, we got a lot
Doug
of
Doug Christie doing the Rocky pose.
Okay.
Yeah. Vlade smoking a cigarette. People having fun with it. Yeah, Megadeth Knight is with us. Says the that Sports Illustrated cover would make a six statue.
Yes, it would. That's a great idea. Why not? Like that starting five?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That's an iconic cover as is, though. Even, like I said, growing up in Philly, like that was iconic for me back then.
And right.
So, no, you're right.
Yeah.
All right.
That would be nice. But I don't know. I think maybe we're going a different way with this arena and we're going more, you know, artistic, whatever.
Yep.
Somewhere there, somewhere, someplace we have to have statues of some of our greats.
Yeah.
Somewhere, some way.
Yeah. Especially, I mean, this arena is going to be here a while.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm with you. It's, you know, how about this? A statue or a plaque or something of last year's team breaking the streak, making the playoffs.
Definitely should be something.
Something.
We had talked about that last year. Probably can't do a banner, but it's. It's too bad because you had to coach the year,
right.
Aaron Fox, and you know light the beam. And there definitely should be some sort of commemoration.
Yeah, I agree.
And I get it. They didn't win. You know, sometimes you go, but you didn't win a championship. But it was a special season.
That was a special team. And I think, you know, 20 years from now, we'll remember that. Like, Terrence Davis will always remember TD. He is a big part of it. You know, Chimezie Metu. You know, some of the guys that helped. You know, get this team back in the playoffs. I even thought, you know, one of my biggest regrets is not getting a ball signed by everybody on that team. Mm-hmm. You know, that would have been nice.
That would have been.
Yeah.
I was also wondering about this, you know, looking at the story about Kobe, and, of course, he played his whole career with the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal. Who is the best player who played his entire career with this franchise? I don't know the answer. In recent years, you know, all the best players, I believe they've moved on or they came here from somewhere else.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
De'Aaron Fox would
maybe
be
it'll
the,
be De'Aaron
probably,
Fox. Yeah. Yeah.
Off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm. Drafted by the Kings, of course. Maybe he'll stay here for the rest of his career. Two guys tonight that the Kings are trying to slow down, Giannis and Dame Lillard.
Dame, yeah.
Both of them nearly became Kings. Have you heard these stories?
No, let me hear this. I got to hear this.
Yeah. Well, we know that Jeff Petrie let it be known a few years ago that he was on his way out and the new regime was coming in. Mm-hmm. And Jeff Petrie said, I did a radio interview when he did a number of these interviews where he talked about this, and I did an interview with him where he talked about this. He said he did, you know, he type of guy he was, he did his homework. He wasn't just going to be like, yeah, whatever. It's your problem now. So he did a lot of draft homework.
Okay.
And he says that the information that he passed on to the Kings when he left indicated that he was very, very, very high on Giannis.
Really?
He says, that's their decision. They can do what they want. Of course, Giannis was the 15th pick by the Bucks in 2013. The Kings had the 7th pick that year. And they picked Ben McLemore. Now, 7th maybe would have been a little high for Giannis, but you probably could have traded down and maybe got another player or something. So, again, that's Jeff Petrie, and he doesn't throw those things around. He said he did a lot of legwork on it, and he was very high on Giannis, and all the scouting and information, he gave that to the Kings when he left and the new regime came in.
Wow, that would have been a game changer, that a franchise alterer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking back at that draft. How many misses were in that draft?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that draft was – whether it's Anthony Bennett, Victor Oladipo was a good player, got hurt, though. But Otto Porter Jr., who just retired, good player.
Cody Zeller. Anthony Bennett was the first
pick. Yeah, Anthony Bennett was the first pick in that draft, dude. Like, that's arguably the worst first pick ever. Biggest bust ever. I mean, the guy played 151 games, scored 658 points in the NBA, and is out of the league. That's 4 years and then out of the league.
In 2012, the Kings had the sixth pick, and there's a lot of people that will tell you how this went down. All signs indicate, no one that I've ever talked to will say otherwise than that the Kings were locked in on Dame. He was the guy they're going to pick. They worked him out. They loved him in the workout. He loved them. He wanted to come here. And then when it came time to draft, the Kings had the sixth pick, and all of a sudden, Thomas Robinson fell in the draft. Thomas Robinson fell into their lap. The Kings were totally unprepared for that, and they made, I believe it was Mr. Petrie as well, who was a great GM. My understanding is Jeff Petrie made that decision, like, we got to take him. We had no idea he was going to fall to us. We have to take advantage of this. So they took Thomas Robinson instead of Dame.
Wow.
And it happened.
And that's back-to-back years. Think about this.
Well, yeah, it was. Yeah, well, you're right.
Yeah, back-to-back
you're right.
Years.
You're correct.
Yeah. 12 and 13.
Uh-huh.
Think about
you're
that.
You're correct, yeah.
You draft those two guys, you got your core for the next 15
years. You draft
years.
One of those one guys, of those and you guys. Theoretically change the future of your franchise.
Man.
They came that close.
Unbelievable.
It happens.
It happens. You see who was right after Dave in that draft.
Who was that? That was, refresh my memory, please.
Harrison.
That's right.
Barnes. Wow.
That's right. And the Warriors kind of, they said they didn't, but they kind of tanked to move up that high in that draft to get
HB.
Them. Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
That would have been nice. But we could do this exercise, and it's a painful one.
Mm-hmm.
If you look back at guys we should have drafted or nearly drafted, or there was somebody in the organization who said, no, this we should draft this guy.
And like, I think you could probably do it for just about any team, and you'd have some painful outcomes.
Exactly. And, you know, I like even in Boston, like for years, they were like, we could have had Giannis. They drafted Kelly Olynyk with the 13th overall pick. Olynyk's had a nice career.
Yes.
But it's not Giannis.
Right.
And so.
Right.
No, you're right. Oh.
Yeah. So anyway, just an interesting backdrop to the.
Why are you bringing up old stuff, Whitey?
I know.
Let's not hold. They're here tonight.
Positivity, big fella.
They're here tonight. So
it's old,
you know,
stuff, man.
Just keep in mind. Yeah. I remember there was one game early in Giannis's career. Was it Marcus Thornton or somebody was on the bench, and Giannis was running up court, and the Kings player said to him, like, dang, how old are you? Yeah, you could see from the beginning there was something different about him. The Kings, hopefully De'Aaron Fox is that guy, right? He already has had a hand in transforming the franchise to a degree.
Yeah.
Draft a guy, and look, he's changed the franchise.
Yeah, and he wants to be here, and you never heard him, you know, even through the lean years, you know, no trade demands or anything like that. Will we see players, though, stay 1 year? I mean, one team their entire career in today's day and age, especially considering this the rings-chasing, rings culture we live in. Let's say De'Aaron's here for 15, 16 years, hasn't won a championship. Does he say, you know what, I want to go chase a title? Sort of like Ray Bourque in Boston in hockey, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's like, all right, you served your time. Go ahead. We want you to win a championship.
My guess is that the stigma of switching teams, I think we're getting to the point where we don't care. General, as fans, individuals, there are certain people, especially older people, are always going to care. But you saw what KD went through, and obviously that was special circumstances because they beat you and then you joined them.
But I think
when you look at LeBron and how many times he switched teams, I think we're going to be, if we're not there already, to a point where for most fans it'll be, okay, of course he switched teams. I'd do the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it depends on the circumstances surrounding it, too. For instance, go down the road to San Francisco. Eric Armstead, you know, a legend there with the Niners, very big into the community. I mean, Joe Montana, like we've seen legends leave. I wonder if it would be different in Sacramento because we're so attached to our athletes. I mean, Tyrese was here a year and a half and people were crying.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's I think we have a deeper connection, I think, with a lot of our star players.
Yeah, but, you know, in a couple of years, you look at what De'Aaron's supposed to be making. If things aren't going the way they hope, I could see how they may be forced to look. You're an asset, and we could keep you, and we're not going to be able to put enough around you. Or, you know, now we're going from deep in the past to too far in the future.
Yeah.
Steph Curry will never go anywhere.
Right. He definitely won't go anywhere. Right. But there's talk. Fans trade Clay and everything like that.
Yeah.
As much
he's gone.
Yeah,
he's gone
after this year, right? He's going to walk out that door.
Yeah, when we come right back to Golden One Center, take a look at the rest of the NBA West. Well, not just the rest, but the Kings as well. Play a little stock up, stock down in this crazy, crazy Western Conference from the Golden One Center. Sacktown Sports. Danielle Hunter of the Vikings would be a free agent target of the 49ers. Well, he's going elsewhere. Danielle Hunter, Houston Texans have agreed to a two-year $49 million deal, including $48 million guaranteed, according to Adam Schefter. Deal has a maximum value of $51 million. Danielle Hunter joining D'Amico Ryans and the Houston Texans.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I think one reason people love football so much, or the NFL, one reason, is because year to year there's so much player movement. No matter who your team is, there's a good chance they're going to do enough in the offseason to make the next year pretty interesting.
Pretty interesting, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we see it right here in San Francisco, some of the moves that they've made. And the thing about the NFL, you're never that far off, right? Like, look at Detroit.
It seems like
You know, a couple pieces here and there, get the right coach in place, and bam, you could become relevant again.
Yeah, unless you're one of those teams like, you know, starts 10-1 and then you collapse, and then it's like, now what do we do?
Hey, we're in a great position. New coordinators, new stud running back, going to beef up the secondary. Eagles might be favorites.
They might be. Who knows? Who knows? I remember last year before the season started, everybody was saying, everyone said, the Rams are terrible. The Rams are awful.
Right.
Well, they were a playoff team.
Right.
Yeah.
You just never know, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So as we look ahead to the playoffs here in the NBA, why don't you give me, Kyle, if you would, stock up, stock down for these teams in the
West. These teams? Okay. Yeah.
And I know it's very volatile. The market is extremely volatile right now.
Now, hold up.
Yeah.
You want my real opinion, not no PC company issue.
Why even need to clarify?
Okay, yeah. All right, just making sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Oklahoma City Thunder, they've won three in a row. They're number one.
Stock up. One of
them. Yeah. Strong, would you invest in them right now?
I short-term and long-term, yes.
Okay.
Yes, I would.
The two seed right now, the Denver Nuggets, they've won three in a row. I agree.
I push my
chips. That's a blue chip stock.
Yeah, for
a little
sure.
Pricey, but I'm in on
that.
Yeah, the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Stock down.
They've lost two in a row.
Cats hurt. You know, they've been playing so well. Rudy Gobert missed the game. Stock down on them.
I agree. And then you got the Clippers. They've lost one here. They haven't played as well since Russell Westbrook got hurt. L.A. Clippers, fourth in the West.
Stock down.
I
something's
think so.
Something's up. A miss, if you will, in L.A.
Is there any chance that the fifth seed, the Pelicans, overtakes either the Clippers or the Timberwolves?
I'd have to – let me check the standings. I got it right here.
Four in a row now, 39-25. Ooh. Just six out of the first spot are the Pelicans.
They're only 2.5 games behind the Clippers right now. I think there's a possibility because I think the stock is up on the Pelicans. Everybody's talking about all these other teams. Pelicans aren't getting any love nationwide. They're not on any of the shows. Nobody's talking other than Zion and his weight. And so I'm high on the Pelicans.
7-3 in their last 10. All they do is win. So you're down. You say stock down on Minnesota and the Clippers so far.
Yes.
Phoenix Suns, a sixth seed.
Stock up, and here's why.
The schedule is brutal.
But, and I'm thinking playoffs too and everything. They haven't been healthy. But Devin Booker's back now. And I think these last, how many games is it for them? 17 games or whatever it is. I think they're going to be primed to make a run, and so I'm stock up on them.
All right, we'll skip the Kings for now and come back to them. We'll go to the 10th spot, 34-30. Curry is going to miss the next game against the Mavs. They did beat the Spurs last night. Golden State Warriors, 34-30. Stock up, stock down?
Stock down. Let me say this. because you're making me choose up or down. They're pretty much stagnant. You know what I mean? They're, you know, they're just, you know, everyday normal stock, not
well,
up,
we'll
not
make
down.
That an option, too.
But, okay, I think they are who
they're
we thought
steady.
They were.
Until
yeah, they're holding
when
steady.
When Steph comes back, you think stock that stock will rise?
Nah. I think they are what they are, you know. I don't know if you saw the video. Like, Wiggins says something to Pajimski during the game. Like, there's a two-on-one. Pajimski wanted the ball. Pajimski said, "Wiggs, what are you doing?" And Wiggins reportedly shot back, you know, some expletive.
Ooh.
And so, you know, even if the Warriors, they're 6-4, you know, they're a steady team. I don't think they're going to get much movement from them.
You got to be careful, because if you hurt Wiggs' feelings, he's going to be gone for 2 months. You got to be really
I'm
careful.
Not going there, well, I'm not.
You just got to be
careful. That's my boy Wiggins.
All I'm saying is you got to be careful.
You know, I'm all in on
Wiggs. Pajimski seems like a guy to be hard to play with, because he's a rookie and he gets in people's face.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, who are you again? Who do you think you are? All right, Lakers, they'll be here tomorrow, 36-30. They've won 2 in a row.
Uh-oh.
Stock up.
Stock up.
It is.
It is, right,
yeah.
Kate? Okay. All right, I'm with you on that. I think we haven't seen the best of the Lakers. They've been hurt all season long, too. Nobody's talking about, you know, Gabe Vincent missing, you know,
right,
most of the season. Jared Vanderbilt has been out. Like, some of their key bench and reserve players have been out this season.
Yeah. Dallas Mavericks, they are in a virtual tie with the Kings.
This is a tough
37-28. They've won 3 in a row. Stock down. No, I wouldn't.
Why are you down?
I don't
know. You're down just
I don't
because
like
they're
them.
Dallas.
They're phonies. They're fraud.
Hold up. They've won 3 in a row.
Yeah, I know. Stock down.
So,
don't invest in them.
Hold on.
They're fake.
OKC
frauds.
OKC wins 3 in a row. You're like, stock up.
OKC is for real, baby.
But Dallas, 3 wins in a row.
Fraud.
Luka, that 30-point triple-double streak.
Yeah. My favorite new ex-player is Chandler Parsons, who just came out and said, "I think Luka would be really hard to play with." I applaud him for that. They don't guard anybody. I know they're doing a lot better right now than I thought they would. I'm just I'm not gonna go back on what I've been saying all year.
All right, so
Dallas Mavericks frauds.
Stock down. You're not investing in it.
Yeah,
Dallas.
You are.
No. I'm just saying they're holding steady.
Yeah. Okay.
No, it's that. That's what I think.
That brings us to currently the 7th seed in the West. We complete the exercise with the Sacramento Kings.
What you got?
Stock down.
Dang.
I mean, after
so
the loss.
Flippantly, like, stock down.
Well, it is. I mean, right now, it is. Like we said, very volatile market. You just got beaten up. Not just beaten,
but
you
I
got
might,
pushed around in your own
I
building.
I might buy low on these guys.
You might?
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I might say that they can turn it around. And, you know, depending on the matchup, they can make some noise. But I get it. Stock down. They haven't been playing well as late. What you say, 9-9 over their last 18?
Yeah.
Stock
yeah.
down. But with the caveat that.
Well, it's a good point. You can still invest in them.
Right.
Stock down. But if you're going to jump on that stock.
Yeah. Down. Yeah. I got faith, man. They can't be as bad as they've been at home. Like, eventually it has to turn around, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like sitting at the blackjack table.
Yeah.
Losing and losing. Eventually, the cards got to break your way.
Yeah, I should clarify on the Mavericks and be more clear. You're right. I mean, their stock is up. It's just one I'm not buying.
You're not.
Yeah, they've won three in a row, so I get it. Their
right,
stock's up.
Right.
I don't want any part. I'm not buying that.
Is it because it's Luka and Kyrie?
Yes.
Right?
let me think about it. Yes. OKC, I would buy.
So hold on.
I would buy
if Luka and Kyrie was on the Miami Heat,
Miami
still
Heat,
be,
I'm not buying. I'm not buying that stock. Thunder, I would buy. Nuggets, I would buy. Timberwolves, nope. Selling. Clippers, selling. Pelicans, buying a lot of. Phoenix, I don't know what to make of. Kings, yeah, stock is down. I'm still going to ask my broker to look into that. I still think that, yeah. But I want to see what happens tonight.
Right. Let's, the deadline to make the purchase is midnight tonight, so you still got time to decide. Because if they win, it's like, stock up. Yes, let's go.
Yeah. I think they could, and I hope they don't, they could lose the next 2 games. And, you know, a lot of people, don't you think a lot of people around here would say, well, that's it, they're done. It wouldn't be. It wouldn't be, though.
Not at all. I mean, no matter what happens tonight and tomorrow, the Lakers can't pass them. The Warriors can't pass them.
It would look bad. It would look grim.
Bad. Yes, it would be hard. But, you know, you get through this, and hopefully the schedule lightens up. You got a tough Knicks team. Then you got Memphis.
Right.
So
Toronto, right?
Like, you got a West or an East Coast trip, Toronto, Washington, and Orlando. And so that's the problem with the Kings. They are like a stock. They're like so up and
absolutely.
Down. So you, it just depends on which day you're buying, whether you're buying them up or down.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Ramsey's been hanging on to talk to the Drive guys. What's up, Ramsey?
Not too much, gentlemen. I just got to tell the actual reason why Dame Lillard, unfortunately, wasn't drafted by Sacramento. Unfortunately, he wasn't drafted by Sacramento because the Kings were panicking because they didn't have any commitment from Jason Thompson, and they didn't have a forward at the time on the roster available. So, therefore, once Thomas Robinson fell, they panicked, drafted him, and went from there, unfortunately. If they would have had a true commit from Jason Thompson, Dame would have been in a Kings jersey.
But it was a matter of they were going to take Dame until Robinson fell in their lap.
But that was due to a panic. That's what it really was.
Yeah. All right, thank you, Ramsey, for the clarification there.
Light there. Yeah.
Yeah, Jay doesn't like it when I go back and mention how the Kings could add those two guys.
Right.
It's just, and I understand that, and we move on. But just watching it sometimes, I wonder, it's like, man, the Kings had a shot at both those guys. Just, I can't help but wonder what could have been.
Franchise altering players. You get one of those guys, and, you know, you become immediately relevant. Two of them?
Yeah. My understanding is, like, when they first saw Thomas Robinson at Summer League, they're like, that's not him, is it?
Oh, really?
Wait, he's not even as big as he's
No.
Yeah. Hey, it's basketball.
It's basketball, and it's Kings history. And that was the first thing when I came here, Whitey. It was the first, like, the wounds from the drafting and the misses. That was, like, the biggest, you know, obviously the Marvin Bagley, Luka Doncic thing was hot at the time, but the misses in the draft is what really, you know, fans were, you know, hot about. Can't say that as much recently, right?
Like, tell you what, I wish they had more draft picks, but, I mean, they do have some coming after this year. Wish they had one this year.
No, I'm with you. It's and
a first-rounder.
It's going to convey to Atlanta, probably. And we got rid of ours last year, too. Yeah. That's what's frustrating.
Not to put you on the spot, but before we break, you know, that was a Kevin Herter deal. Do you have any comments on Kevin Herter being in the news lately?
I'm sorry. Sometimes you need to break out of a slump. You know?
Okay.
And so, yeah, hopefully Kevin Herter comes out fired up tonight.
Thank you. Up next, how NFL free agent signings are not what they appear to be, and we'll catch up on the latest, too, here. From the Goldman Center Drive guys.
Just their size with Lopez and Giannis, Bobby Portis off the bench, guys like that, caused a lot of issues for a lot of teams. So I feel like last time we played them, we did a good job of helping each other out, helping the helper and things like that.
Keegan Murray is a scouting report on the Bucks tonight. They're a formidable bunch. They've got some size. It'll be a challenge for the Kings to beat them tonight for the first time in, what, they've lost 15 in a row to the Milwaukee Bucks?
Yeah, so. 15 in a row. What, 2016 the last time we beat them?
Correct. So. Yeah. So it's a done deal. It's a law of averages. It's going to happen eventually.
Right? It got to happen sometimes, right?
Yeah. Kings need a win here at some point. This would be a big one. That's a pretty tough home back-to-back, huh? You're home. You got a six-game homestand. Yeah. Not to whine about it, but, who do we got on the homestand? Well, you got a back-to-back with the Bucks and the Lakers.
Like, L.A.'s going to be here resting in the Sawyer Hotel right across the way while you're busting your butt trying to beat Giannis and Dame, you know? And think about it, too. You got to imagine De'Aaron and Domas are going to play 38, 39. Like, you know, they're going to be taxed tonight if it's a close game. And then having to turn around and get back at it tomorrow night. It's going to be a challenge.
Would it be loser talk to suggest, you know, I'd never say this publicly, but privately if you're like, you know what, we get one of these two, I think that's pretty good. Is that loser talk? Honestly.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Because championship teams, they don't think like that.
Yeah, I know.
Denver's not saying, we got Milwaukee and Lakers. Man, if we could just get one of these. You see what I mean? So it is loser talk.
But
OKC's not, Minnesota's not thinking that. Milwaukee's not thinking that.
I know, but we're talking about the Kings.
No. Okay. No.
All right.
No, because as soon as you start thinking that, then you become a loser.
Uh-huh.
And so if I'm the Kings, I'm like, we got a golden opportunity. We got these guys on our home court. Let's go.
All right. You're right. You're right. We're going to talk more Kings with Brendan Nunes. He's going to join us here in just about 10 minutes. I want to congratulate you, Kyle, because your Eagles have made another deal today. Devontae Parker from the Patriots. He was released by the Patriots last year at 33 catches, 394 yards. He's the newest Philadelphia Eagle. 1 year, $4.69 million fully guaranteed.
No, but
there you go.
You're missing it. That's not the big signing.
What do you got?
That's not the big signing. Hold on. Who did we just sign? I thought it was Sauce.
CJ
Gardner.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right.
CJ Gardner. We bring him back to Philly to beef up that secondary. And so and he tweeted out 15 minutes ago, flying home with the Eagle emoji out there. And so the Eagles, man, we are getting things done.
Just give them the Lombardi now, huh?
Why even play the games, right? I'm saying the narrative was, well, the Eagles, you know, the coordinators are awful, the secondary. We're addressing needs out there in Philadelphia. Tell me the moves that the Niners have made to make themselves better.
They've got an excellent defensive end. Leonard Floyd's a stud, and he's a player. And he shows up. He's healthy. He's great.
He's all right. I mean,
no, he's a really good player.
He's a good player. But you already had great players on the defensive line.
Sorry.
And it didn't pan out.
It didn't pan out. They went to the Super Bowl and lost in overtime. It didn't pan out. You make it sound
who's knocked out by Tampa Bay
in the first round.
Which team has won the offseason so far?
I don't know that anyone has, but I know that it doesn't matter. Probably the stinking Atlanta Falcons. I don't know. You know?
We've done a
but
good job.
But that's the thing. They've had to. And keep this in mind. Andrew Brandt, writing in Sports Illustrated, former member of the Packers front office, he says, the thing about football is you got to be careful with free agents. Because if there's a guy that's a free agent, that means there's a reason why his team let him go. Sometimes it's cap situations, but in the NFL, this is a guy that used to be in the front office. He says, if teams really value somebody, they'll find a way to keep them. So all these great names that get bounced around, oh, we got this guy, we got that guy. Why didn't their teams keep them? There are good reasons for that. Good reasons for that.
Saquon?
The Giants, they haven't wanted him for years.
And they're a trash franchise. That's why I'm glad they didn't want him. I mean, this C.J. Gardner Johnson move is, I think.
That'll help. Well, like you said, it certainly addresses the need.
Yeah.
It really does. Did you hear, real quick here, we don't talk politics, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. running for president as an independent, maybe you saw his great ad during the Super Bowl. Did you see who he says is at the top of his list as a VP?
I heard about this. I heard it. Yes, I'm going to let you deliver
it. Aaron Rodgers!
I don't know what's going on in the world, man. I just don't get it.
So, and if you're a Jets fan now, it's like, well, what if they win? He won't be able to play
quarterback,
though. Oh, I guess we don't know what's going to happen
But
there.
Could you see Aaron Rodgers in political office, like the Tommy Tuberville of politics? Like, after when it's all said and done, I could see him running for something.
I could see him get elected. I couldn't see him staying long.
Yeah.
And he'd just go completely off the
deep end. Maybe a Wisconsin, governor or something like that.
I've just assembled my UFO task force. That's what he would do. But anyway, something to keep an eye on. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Rick joins us here on Sackdown Sports. Hey, Rick, what's up?
Guys, how you doing? I'm a loyal listener. Whitey, I go back with you all the way back to the Rise guys.
Wow. Okay. Appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, so I would like to see Mike put Davion in the starting lineup and give Kevin a break. Kevin needs to maybe refocus, reset, and take a little time. I know he has the ability, but right now he's killing us, man. He just is. And Davion's playing well. Davion's earned it. He's earned the right to start. And so I'd like to see Mike make that move. Thank you, guys.
Well, thank you, Rick. Thanks for the kind words. A lot of calls to that effect yesterday, Dre, when you had the day off. Why isn't Malik starting? Malik's got to start. So that's where, fans right now are seeing that things aren't quite where they are supposed to be. Why don't they change up the starting lineup?
And you said it was either yesterday or last week. The Kings are the one team that really hasn't tinkered or messed with their lineups a whole lot compared to other teams. This is the first time I've heard somebody say Davion should be getting the starting nod. And I don't know. I think, and I've said it before, you put Kevin Huerter on the bench, it minimizes his potential, if you know what I mean. Like, as a starter, he's used to these guys. He's in the flow. He's getting his minutes. Then he goes to the bench when Malik comes in or whatever. Now, if he's on the bench, not only is he behind Davion or Keon, he's behind Malik Monk also. And so then it's like, you know, who is Kevin Huerter, a 15-minute-per-game player for you? And I don't know. We've seen him break out of these slumps before earlier this season.
He had a good game against the Bucks, I believe.
Right, yes, yes.
Really nice game. 26, I think.
Yeah, Thanasis just came out. Antetokounmpo.
Ah.
Thanasis Antetokounmpo. And mm-hmm. So he's a instant comedy.
What a coincidence that he's on the same team that his brother.
Right. I mean, who would have thought?
What are the odds?
Right. The odds. This guy, you know, would and there are no Lopez brothers either. Like,
right.
Brook and Robin, you know. I wonder, is he just – he's like the Udonis Haslam of Milwaukee. Just mm-hmm. there to pacify Giannis, you know, have his guy with him. Look at him. He's going through his warm-up, though.
If I had Giannis and he said, hey, you got to put my brother on the team, I'd say, well, I'll put all of them on the team.
Right.
Whatever you want, big fella. Yeah.
Especially
you
when you're
cousins
a small
that
market
play?
Like Milwaukee.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the threat of Giannis leaving was hanging over you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Do whatever you can. Yeah. Whatever you want, Mr. Giannis.
Anybody in your extended family wants a spot,
exactly.
We'll see. Ash joins us here on Sacktown Sports. Hey, Ash. Thanks for hanging. What's up?
Not much. I just wanted to discuss an interesting take with you guys that I thought of this morning. I don't know if you guys have heard of anything like this, but personally, I actually kind of think that the Kings are an inside scoring team that masquerades as a three-point shooting team.
Ooh. Do tell. Why? What you got?
So, Huerter, he's streaky, and I mean, I trust him, but at the same time, when he's off, he is off, and he just cannot buy a bucket. And Hegan, he can be really hot at times, but at times he also has a little bit of HB syndrome. You know, they both of them kind of disappear at times during the season. HB a lot more frequently, obviously, than Hegan. But our two primary guys are Fox and Sabonis in terms of scoring. And they're both definitely inside scorers. They're not outside scorers. I mean, Fox has taken a giant leap and a good step this year. But I still truly believe that this team is more of an inside scoring team than an outside scoring team.
Interesting, Ash. Interesting theory. I see where he's going there as far as Fox and Sabonis. But in today's NBA, if you're an inside scoring team, you're done.
Right, you're done. Yeah, I mean, you're what? The Chicago Bulls, you know, mid-range or inside, like – they're hitting threes, you're hitting twos. That's not a winning, successful formula.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anybody can tell you that. In fact, Brendan Nunes will tell you that when he joins us, our Sacktown Sports Kings Insider. Next from the Golden One on Sacktown. Guests come to you via the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Straper and Gleason here from the Golden One Center. And joining us now, our Sacktown Sports Kings Insider, Brendan Nunes. And Brendan, let me point out to you here, you know, Drapes was complaining earlier that he didn't have popcorn. So now we got popcorn, we got water, we got soda. Is there any? Can I get you anything? I guess is a question.
I'm doing all right. You guys got variety of popcorn,
yes,
too.
Yeah.
Options.
Yeah.
My boy James brought the bag. He was listening.
There we go.
Said, Drapes, you don't need that little box. I got the whole bag for you.
He got everything you need over here.
Yeah.
Are you out here early to watch Giannis's brother warm up?
That's exactly what I'm here for. I'm here for Thanasis and Andre Jackson Jr., really.
Yeah.
That's what we're all here for, right?
Yes. Yes.
I'm watching Thanasis corner threes. All right, there you go. He made the first one. I was like, uh-oh.
It'll be interesting to see if his brother plays, though. Probable coming into the night, and obviously a big part of their team, big focal point, and we've seen how the Kings have struggled against teams that don't have their best player for whatever reason that may be.
We have seen that, haven't we? Let's cut to the chase. What do you see as the keys for the Kings tonight against an excellent team?
Yeah, I mean, Milwaukee does a really good job getting to the free throw line, specifically Giannis and Dame, and the Kings can be a little handsy. They want to play a physical brand of basketball and don't have great defenders, and I think sometimes that could lead to fouls. So I think keeping Milwaukee off the free throw line is going to be big today. And also just hitting your threes. These spray threes have been a topic of conversation as of late. The Houston and Miami games really stand out as teams that really pack the paint against you defensively, and I think that Milwaukee kind of fits that, so it's going to be important not get too deep, limit turnovers to not make things harder for you, and you got to knock down those threes.
I mentioned the spray threes earlier, and Drape said, oh, not that again.
Because he's been talking about it all season long, right?
Like, not
that's
me.
Just that, not why I'm talking Mike. Like, he's always talking about the spray threes, and I'm like, man, and I understand you got to keep hammering and keep hammering it. Do you see that as the issue? Like, you know, guys getting too deep, like he said the other day, and not hitting them in stride?
I mean, I think specifically those games, the Miami and, again, Houston game, yes, that was an issue where, you know, in the Miami one, De'Aaron Fox has a season-high 7 turnovers. In the Houston one, Domas, second season-high or second place, whatever, 9 turnovers in that one. He struggles as well. So I think against those teams specifically, but overall they've done pretty good. I think they're 5th post-All-Star break in offense. Mike Brown has mentioned that a couple times these last few games. But I think they're doing all right. But they are a team that, you know, they want to get better defensively. I just personally don't even think they have the personnel. Not saying that you shouldn't try, but you got to rely on your offense. And I think those spray threes are such an essential part of it that when shots aren't going down, there's definitely a big difference.
That's Brendan Nunes, our Kings insider, SacktownSports.com. I know you're at practice today. I know you were talking to Keegan about offense and defense. What's your explanation for why his offense seems to be shrinking and what can be done about it?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think there's pros and cons to this equal opportunity offense that the Kings run. It makes you very unpredictable, and that's what they're looking for. That's valuable in the postseason, but it also is not great at riding the hot hand. If Keegan has it going, for example, I think that first quarter last game, he does well and then really slows down after the fact, and a lot of people are like, oh, they got to get him more involved. It's just not how Sacramento's offense works. I think Keegan has to go out there and get it on his own. We've seen Harrison go through ups and downs and a couple of different guys, but really I think Keegan needs to have that aggressive mindset offensively and go and get it himself with still maintaining the flow, which is the balance that I think he's trying to figure out in year two.
What do you make of the offense first quarter versus third quarter? Because usually you think, all right, coming out of the locker room, it's the same thing at halftime. Maybe you don't get as much warm-up. Why is there such a huge difference? I looked at the numbers. I think they're 7th in the NBA in offensive rating in the first quarter, but maybe 24th in the third. Like, what are you seeing first and third quarters?
Yeah, it's interesting, and it's hard to pin down. The first thing that comes to my mind is the defensive adjustments the other team are making coming out of halftime, whether that be trying to run guys off the line, or really it feels like the Kings have something working for them often and then try to repeat that a lot, which is a solid formula, and I think a lot of teams do that. But when the other team comes out at halftime with maybe a little bit of a different looking defense, I think it can just take the Kings a sec to adjust to that.
Brendan, a lot of fans think Malik should start. Just some that people and you have been talking about, you know, all season long. But right now people are wondering about it again because the team is apparently looking for some answers. Do you think it should happen? Do you think it ever would happen?
I mean, I don't think it'll happen this year for what it's worth. And even down the line, like, we've asked Mike Brown about this a little bit, and he said it's harder to replace what Malik does off the bench than to just plug somebody into that starting five who can just be your fifth starter. And really, you see De'Aaron checks out about the 5-minute mark, 7-minute mark, somewhere in there, the first quarter, and typically Davion and Malik Monk are coming into the game. And I think you always want one of Malik or De'Aaron on the floor at all times. Having Domas' playmaking is great, but it's different when it's coming from a perimeter player that can get past their man, get into the paint, and make plays from there. So I think there's value in being able to stagger De'Aaron and Malik. And also, Malik's out there to close games.
Yeah.
And I think that's what really matters, you know. And you don't know exactly where his head is at. Obviously, free agency with him is a big topic there, and maybe that matters to him. But I personally would think that closing is the important thing.
Who has the cap space next year that teams that might be able to pursue him if they had interest?
Orlando's the one that stands out to me. Yeah. I think they could really use a guard playmaker like that, and they have a lot of defenders to surround him. And San Antonio's interesting to me too, but I think they can only get to about that 20 mil mark, which isn't going to be much more than, I believe it's 478 is the max the Kings can offer. And, you know, maybe playing with Wemby's enticing, but I like to think if it's that close, it's not really doing it.
Gotcha.
You know, what's your gut telling you, man? What do you think? thinking. I'm listening to the numbers. If San Antonio gets to the 20, what if Orlando goes up a little higher, right. You know? And the Kings can't compete financially with that.
Yeah, I mean, I still think I lean towards Malik staying, but I still think we're talking like 70-30 here, you know? And everybody talks about his relationship with De'Aaron Fox, which I think is very real, but I think it's the relationship with Mike Brown that stands out to me. I think those guys can be so honest with each other. They're both guys that tell you how it is and aren't afraid to say things to your face, and they both know that it's coming from the right place, that they're trying to work towards the same goal. So I'm interested to see how that could factor in here, but, you know, I do think it's kind of a coin flip. Like, if you're Orlando, Klay Thompson's out there too. I tried to do this exercise yesterday. There's D'Lo out there. Like, which of these guys, with Malik included, is the most intriguing to you? And there's a lot of times that I think Malik might be the best option, but you never know what a different team is going to be feeling like.
Brendan, if Domas breaks the consecutive double-double streak tonight, will you celebrate with two halftime hot dogs tomorrow night?
Ooh, two halftime hot dogs. I don't know about that. I've never stepped into the two... The double glizzy night.
We've seen it done, though. People have done it.
We have seen it, and it's often without buns. And I don't think that's my style.
How are the hot dogs here? Are they pretty good?
They're all right.
RJ's like, you eat anything, though, RJ? Come on. He's like, oh, they're great.
That's dude, you're a double dog guy, right? You've been known to do the double dogs.
I was pressed for time, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, the incredible streak. Do you think he'll end up catching... Kevin Love, I think 53 is the all-time streak, and he's
in a single season.
53 is the all-time record for double-double streaks, and he's got 46 right now.
Yeah,
bringing down that record, bringing it home.
I mean, they've got some. These next three games aren't very easy, you know. Milwaukee got some good bigs, obviously, two of them really. If you're throwing Giannis in there, also Bobby Portis off the bench. Even you go to LA, Anthony Davis has been playing out of his mind. He sounded very motivated after that last game, saying the Kings always won. And then you got the Knicks coming into town; they're a really good rebounding team. So, if I have to bet, I'm going to bet yes because he's the best rebounding guy in the league. But you know, you never really know. But it seems to be just what he does on a nightly basis, really. So I'd bet yes.
Brendan Nunez joining us, Sacktown Sports, 1140 Kings Insider. Brendan, here we are, 19 games to go, something like that. What's your vibe on this team and its ceiling? Is it still an opportunity to advance out of the first round, or are you kind of like sort of resigned, like, you know what, even if they do make it to the playoffs, it might be short-lived?
No, I mean, I think they have a chance to get out of the first round. You know, I keep holding on to hope that they're going to go on a run at some point here. And I lose hope with each bad loss, let me tell you, Drapes. But I still think that it's just about playing your best basketball at the right time. And we've seen the best version of this Kings can't compete, you know. And if you pull OKC in the first round, Minnesota, these teams are far from pushovers and the Kings would not be favored. But I think you have a chance that if you're rolling offensively specifically and the physicality will be up in the postseason, Kings know that they can get into guys a little bit more, not have to worry about as tight of a whistle. I still think the ceiling of this group is getting out of the first round. Now they absolutely could lose in the play-in as well, and that's kind of the duality and complications with this team, really.
All right, thank you very much, Brendan.
Appreciate you guys.
Get you anything? We've got a variety of.
I think all right. I'm gonna head down and figure it out.
All right.
Appreciate
let
it though.
Us know. Yeah,
might have to try some of that later.
Yeah, we'll that's good, right?
Some of that popcorn,
white cheddar.
Yeah. Good luck getting that out of his hand.
Right,
gourmet at that. Right. You know,
He's lining up a Jiffy Pop endorsement.
Okay.
When we come back, why playing hard is not playing hard enough for the Kings, from the Golden 1 Center. Drive Guy, Sacktown Sports.